So then you do come to Washington, D.C. You're 24 by the time you receive your law degree at Georgetown University. You have law, you have this experience. Were you having political ambitions then at that time?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Oklahoma Boys State whetted my appetite. I haven't thought of this in a long time. There was a professor of OU government, Dr. Thornton, and Dr. Thornton inspired me to study government. So I had sort of outlined, rewritten the Oklahoma Constitution, and I intended to be the youngest governor in the state of Oklahoma at age 31. From that point on, I pretty well had a bent toward politics.
But then you were in the Army Reserve from 1961 to 1968?
That's correct.
And then what motivated you to join the Army Reserve?
Well, I was in ROTC at OU, and I got commissioned as a second lieutenant.
That wasn't the choice that everybody had to make.
No, you didn't have to go through ROTC, but I had always sort of been raised with you have a certain duty. Part of that duty is to serve in the military, and I would rather serve as an officer. That's why I did it.
Between 61 and 68, we had Vietnam in that era, of course. You served as a captain?
I finished as a captain, yes.
In the U.S. Army Counterintelligence?
Right.
And you became a special military aide to President Lyndon Johnson in 64. How did that all come about?
It's interesting because I had postponed my active duty from 61 to 64 while I finished law school. While I was in law school, my best friend in law school was a fellow named Tommy Boggs. Tommy was the son of Hale Boggs, who was the whip of the House, the number three position in the House of Representatives. Tommy introduced me and brought me into being a part-time advance person for then Vice President Johnson and ultimately President Johnson. And we advanced a couple of trips together. When I graduated, it was an accelerated program for night students. You had to go year-round. So I graduated in the summer of 64 and was going to report to active duty that fall. The decision was made by the Johnson campaign that because they had just passed the 64 Civil Rights Act, that it would not be the best thing for President Johnson to campaign in the South, but that Lady Bird Johnson, who is from Alabama originally, and Southerners treat women properly regardless, she would carry on the campaign in the South. So they were going to kick it off in, I think it was August, with a whistle-stop campaign train starting in Washington with 18-20 stops through the South and ending up in New Orleans. This thing was just an idea, and they had put it all together, and they didn't have any advance people or anything else. So Tommy called me and said, would I want to volunteer to be an advance person at one of those stops? I said, sure, I don't have anything to do until the fall. So we came down, got the group together, assembled, and Tommy and I had a lot of our friends there. One vacuum after another developed that I filled, and I ended up being in charge of putting the train together. It was a successful trip. Mrs. Johnson and her press secretary, Liz Carpenter, took an eye on me, and Mrs. Johnson told her husband, there's this young man that you ought to have on your staff. So I go off after finishing the train tour, and then a little bit of help to Ed Edmondson in his congressional race that year. And then I go off to active duty at Fort Benning. I had volunteered for Vietnam, and the next stop was Fort Holabird for counterintelligence school, followed by Monterey Language School, back to Benning for airborne school, and then to Vietnam. Well, I finished basic training at Fort Benning, and Ed Buckner, who was a classmate of mine from Sand Springs and at OU, he was an intelligence officer too. We drove together back up to Fort Holabird in Baltimore. I checked in Fort Holabird one evening, and the sergeant said, Lieutenant Jones, the White House is calling. I said, well, who is it? And they said, Marvin Watson. I didn't know who Marvin Watson was. And I said, well, tell them I'll call them tomorrow. They said, Lieutenant Jones, you'll call them right now. And so I called, and Marvin had taken Kenny O'Donnell's place, which the position's called Chief of Staff today. And he said, can you come down in the morning? I need to interview you. And I said, well, I'm on active duty. He said, well, I'll take care of that. I come down the next morning. First of all, Jack Valeni interviews me, then Marvin Watson, and he calls General Clifton, who is the military aide to the president and a holdover from the Kennedy White House. He calls General Clifton in and says, we need to change Lieutenant Jones' orders to the White House. So my first year there, I completed my active duty at the White House in the military, but I was the deputy appointment secretary, which is deputy chief of staff today. The last 3 years, civilian, and then ended up being chief of staff in the end of 67, the last 14 months of the presidency.
Well, that was a swirling 24, 48 hours for you, wasn't it?
It was. I was kind of surprised.
And all because Lady Bird Johnson and Liz Carpenter spotted your talent, yeah, is really what it boiled down to.
Lady Bird and Liz Carpenter were responsible for my being there.